Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Duluth Rundown, a podcast focused on the local Twin Ports running scene. My name is Tony Stensland with Tony Stensland Coaching.
And I am Mike Ward with Duluth Timing and Events.
All right, quick thank you before we get started to our sponsor of this episode, Austin Jarrow, Duluth's original running store. That's the place to get your running shoes. Great advice from all the people that work up there. Check out their website, austin-jarrow.com. They are also on Facebook and Instagram. Drive on up to their location on Central Entrance, just on the other side of where the Home Depot is, but on the other side of the road. Or give them a call, 218-722-1185. Thanks so much to Austin Jarrow. And welcome back, everyone, to the Duluth Rundown Podcast, episode number 93. I'm joined here. Oh, and also, Gretcher Letter Madaga and Alasaman. It is Sutton de Mai. It's the 17th of May.
What?
Congratulations on the day, everybody. That's what that meant.
Huh?
Yeah, Gretcher Letter Madaga and Mike.
What are you? What is this about?
It's Sutton de Mai. It's the 17th of May. It's Norwegian Constitution Day. It's sort of like Norway's 4th of July.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Cool, huh? Yeah, I didn't know if that was a secret language or you're I don't know what was going on for a sec there.
Yeah, no. How are you?
Yes. Good. Yeah. Really good.
Good.
Yeah, can't complain.
Nice.
Can't complain too much. You know, I'm maybe a little concerned about forest fires. It's like summer's here and then we have forest fires already.
Instantly. And summer was here for like yesterday and now it's back to like 40 degrees and the wind off the lake.
Just can't catch a break. Sunday.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, how about you, Tony? How you been?
I've been okay. I had a bike crash. I had my first car-related bike crash the other day at the roundabout up on Glenwood and Snively.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I'm pretty sore, my back and my shoulder. I actually went in for x-rays on my shoulder. Thought maybe I'd broken it, but I didn't, which is good.
Oh, my gosh.
Sprained the AC joint.
Oh, yeah.
So yeah, I'm just dealing with that. Not fun.
Do you want to talk about it? Like what happened?
So,
or if you don't, we could just move on.
No, it's fine. It's fine. It's actually good because I was going from Snively to Jean Duluth from my house. I had just left my house.
So like straight through
I was going straight through and another car was coming up Glenwood and turning right onto Jean Duluth.
Yeah.
And I was in the roundabout first, but they decided to pull in front of me.
Yeah.
Which they shouldn't have done.
Right.
Because in a roundabout, a car's not going faster than a bike anyway. It's in the roundabout. Everybody's going kind of slow.
Right.
So they pulled out in front of me, and I tried to get behind them real quick. And the second I did, I was like at the curb of the edge of the road.
Oh.
Like instantly. So I had like zero time to react. So front tire, boom, curb.
Oh.
I went over the handlebars. It all happened really fast. I was trying to avoid the car.
Didn't hit the car.
No, I didn't hit the car. I hit the curb, down I went.
Did they stop?
Well, so kind of. And I will say, yeah, they pulled out in front of me. They shouldn't have done that. I probably should have gone a little slower. I should have slowed down, too. That was a little bit on me. So it's kind of dual fault, I feel like.
Yeah.
So after I crashed, I sit up, I look, I kind of wave my hand up a little bit, like kind of, like, what are you doing kind of thing like that, you know? And I think they did see it because they, you know, they continued on to Jean Duluth. As I got back on the bike, I looked at the bike. The bike was fine. I felt okay. I was fine.
Yeah.
So I got back on the bike and I started riding down Jean Duluth to my original destination.
Yeah.
And they were pulled over to the side of the road. I'm like, I'm okay. I gave them a little thumbs up. And then they kind of doubled back and they came by me again. I'm like, it's all good. I'm good. And I never saw them again after that, which it was nice of them that they kind of sort of checked on me a little bit.
Yeah.
So, and I felt fine. I rode for 2 hours.
Oh, wow.
Afterwards, felt fine. I was like, well, whatever. I knew I was scratched up a little bit, but it's not a big deal. But
you're not bleeding openly or anything.
Yeah. 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 More on my shoulder than on, like, I have a little on my knee, but the road rash on my knee, but most of it on the shoulder.
Yeah.
And then when I got home and it,
like the adrenaline wore off of the ride and everything. Yeah. That's when I got, and then sleeping was horrible. Oh, so no. Thursday, then this happened on Wednesday. On Thursday, I went and got X-rays, and it is negative. So
yeah, that's good.
Yeah,
that AC joint's not a big or not a nice thing though. Like I've had that body surfing before.
Yeah,
like a grade two or they. Don't they grade him or something like that?
I don't know if he did tell me that necessarily. Yeah.
Yeah, that was not fun to heal from, and it's still a little weird.
Is
it? I still got a little bump thing.
Yeah, yeah. Great. But, yeah. Yeah, it's getting better. I can sleep now. I'm actually, ibuprofen has been good.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then my back's still a little bit sore.
So. Yeah, yeah. I had a kind of a close call, actually. This just struck me. Maybe that was when I saw you. Was that on Wednesday?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I saw you on Wednesday.
Oh, were you in the group ride?
Yeah, I was in the group ride.
Oh, yeah. There was so many of you guys. That was me coming back.
Yeah, I saw you coming back. Yeah. Yes. And, did the whole Fox Farm loop with the Wednesday night ride.
Yep.
And with about a mile to go, I don't know how it happened, but I just saw the smoke. And it was from someone grabbing their brake and the tires, mm-hmm. burning.
Locked
and
up.
And a bunch of people went down and I somehow got to the ditch mm-hmm. and unclipped without tipping over.
Yeah.
And then I saw a gentleman with his arm dislocated from the socket or whatever. You could just see it like kind of down.
Yeah.
And apparently that was the first crash ever on the Wednesday night ride ever.
Really? That was apparently a big group. There must have been 60 people in that group.
It was massive. It was scary.
Yeah.
I mean, the crash was scary, but like even well before that, just riding in the pack and hammering,
uh-huh.
Not really being used to that. You know, that was like pretty much my second ride of the year, I guess.
Yeah.
And definitely first ride, like hammering fast. And
mm-hmm.
yeah, that's scary being in the group like that.
Yeah. But, yeah.
Wow. Well, glad the bike's okay. Definitely glad that you're mostly okay. And hopefully, good to hear you're feeling better already.
Totally. Yeah. Hopefully I can get more healed up pretty quick. So
Yeah.
Jeez.
Well, hey, let's just get right into some results that we have. We have a ton of results coming in. Let's start with the Victory 5K. This was in Hibbing, Minnesota on April 25th. We had 183 finishers. In the 5K, first place, Ryan Olson with a 16:27. And then first place, women, Amanda Blair with an 18:05. Moving along from there, I'll jump into some NMTC. We got a lot of NMTC results coming in from the first couple races. Let's start with Bear Creek. Jordan Grunes won that one. And then first place in the female category, 10th overall, Lily Hubanks. Next race was Wabiz Heshikana. Matthew Braithwaite took the win there. And then first place on the female side, Chelsea Youngberg, 15th overall. And then on the Mother's Day Sunday edition at Spirit Mountain, the 10-miler, John Curley took the overall win with a 54:49. And then on the women's side, Chelsea Youngberg, 12th overall, 103:11. Lily was right behind Chelsea, but that was a good race, just 3 seconds back. And then we have Point Pine down on the end of Park Point. Jordan Grunes took the win there. And then on the women's side, Lily Hubanks took the win on that one. And then finally, we can go over some series standings. So far in the series, four races down, two to go. Jordan Grunes, I would say, has a pretty commanding lead here with 594 points. Jacob Wortman right behind with 581. On the women's side, Chelsea Youngberg is leading the series with 598 points, almost a perfect score. Hannah Torvey just 6 points behind her. And then on the non-binary category, Elle Byrne has 599 points. L has taken the win at almost all the events in the non-binary category. L got second place at Bear Creek, but first place in the non-binary at the other three races. So L's shown up to all of the series so far. Nice work, L. Moving along from there, what do we have next? Let's talk about the Northland 5K for food allergy. That was yesterday, May 17th, 5K, 75 finishers. The winner of the race was David Hypanen with an 18.08. And then on the women's side, Sen Lee took the win with a 25.56. We have results coming in from the Madeleine Island Marathon and Half Marathon in La Pointe, Wisconsin. That was on May 16th, so yesterday as well. Sam Wouters took the win with a 2:52.25 on the marathon. Summer Olson with a 3:08.49. And then in the half marathon, 90 finishers in the full, 328 finishers in the half. So a lot bigger race. Brian Matthews got the win on the half with a 1:15.23. Annabelle Schroeder got the win with a 1:33.12 on the women's division. No non-binary results coming in from Madeleine Island. Finally, we have a couple different results coming in from the Pike Lake races here outskirts of Duluth. Dexter DeLille from Cloquet took the win in the 5K, 19:19. Lauren Stevens took the win for female, 20 minutes, 31 seconds. And then, not able to find quickly non-binary results. I'm not sure if there are any actually in this race either. So let's just move right along to 10K. Andrew Papke-Larsen took the win in the 10K. Pretty commanding win, 35:35. And then Christy Nixon, fourth place overall, took the win on the female side, 43:48. And then finally we have the half marathon. Sam O'Donnell Hoff took the win with a scorching time of 1:15.15. And then on the female side, power couple alert, Hannah Torvey took the win with a seventh overall finish, 1:26.36. So big congrats to Sam and Hannah taking the win at the half there. I was out there race timing about 700 runners at the
nice
Pike Lake all together. So big showing there. Lots going on. We had, 228 finishers in the Superior Spring 50K yesterday. Kirk DeWint took the win for the 50-kilometer course, 4:12.04. And then looking at the female side, Naomi Nelson took the win with a 5:31, 22nd overall. We do have some non-binary results as well. Anna Grace T.D. Hodinger took the win for non-binary, 5:17.06. And Anna Grace had an overall finish of 13th, so pretty speedy there. Nice work, AG. In the 25K, Adam Escuri from Duluth took the win, 2:01.46. Fourth place overall, first place in the female division, Rachelle DiNardo with a 2:11.17. And then in the non-binary category, Stacia Madsen from St. Paul ran a 4:50 and 25 seconds in the 25K. Finally, 12.5K, Leif Lindstrom from Grand Marais took the win, 58:55, the only under an hour finish there. Nice work, Leif. On the female division, 11th overall, Abby Ewald, 1:08.15. And then in the non-binary category, we had Cammie Cardinal, 148th overall. In the 12.5, their finish time was 1:56.22. Gosh, I think that about wraps it up for race results. So
it's getting to the busy season.
It is getting to the busy season. If we missed any, if you did a race or are aware of a race that we missed, please let us know. Send us an email, theduluthrundown@gmail.com. That goes for upcoming races as well. It's really hard sometimes to keep track of all the various events going on. We're doing our best, you know, looking on the internet and stuff. But hey, if you know of a race, if you're doing it, you want to shout it out, please let us know. We'd be love to get that on the podcast here. Meanwhile, what we got for upcoming races, and I erroneously didn't write down dates, so these are all coming up like roughly within the next 30 days from now or so. We have the NMTC Woodland Run. That's mid to late May. Let's go with the last two. NMTC races are both on the Wednesday nights, so you can look up the date if you want. But NMTC Woodland, and then the finale is the NMTC Cloquet Forestry Center. I believe that's in like three Wednesdays because there's a rain date in there somewhere. The Going Bananas Run is coming back to Duluth. If you've always wanted a banana suit, this is your time to procure one and run a 2 mile run while being chased by a gorilla. That's coming up at the end of May, I believe, like the 26th or something like that. It's on a Saturday around Bent Paddle area. The CSM John S. Werner Memorial 5K up in the Woodland neighborhood is coming up. I believe that's maybe next Saturday. Coming up quick somewhere. So if you're looking for another 5K tune-up before Grandma's, that is an excellent option for you. And then finally, let's highlight the Run with the Hounds. That is coming up on July 18th. And anything that you specifically want to highlight for this second year event here, Tony?
Yeah, just we're going to bring it up a couple of times before the event takes place just because it's my podcast or it's our podcast. Yeah. So I'm going to do that. But yeah, 5K out at Snowflake on the ski trail should be a lot of fun. Super fun event last year and looking to make it even bigger this year.
Yes. And what's the race all about? Like, is it raising money for anything? Or?
Yeah, it's a fundraiser for the Duluth East Cross Country Team. But honestly, anybody who's interested can come and do it. You don't necessarily have to be, I guess, affiliated with the team, either as a parent or a runner themselves. Anybody who wants to just come run a cool 5K, come and do it.
Yeah, fun course. Mm-hmm. Very, very high caliber race director. And obviously a great, great cause that your money's going to. So check that out. And then the last race that's coming up, of course, is the Grandma's Marathon.
Grandma's Marathon is coming up.
William A. Irvin 5K, Gary Bjorklund Half Marathon, and the 50th anniversary of Grandma's Marathon. We'll probably have another podcast, I'm thinking probably before then. Mm-hmm. Who knows? But yeah, that's, of course, a mid-June big event for anyone who is a runner in Duluth. Moving right along here to trail conditions. Kind of hard to say what's going on the trails. I ran in Chester this morning, and I mean, trail conditions, Tony, are just optimal. I mean, maybe dusty, you know, which is kind of wild for this time of year. I think pretty much everywhere in our region is seeing the trees kind of bud up, you know, and I feel like that just sucks the moisture and the muck out of the ground. So I think we're out of like the spring thaw season. Still, you know, we have rain on the way. Rain is forecasted for today and tomorrow. I mean, it's always just smart to keep your eye on the forecast. And if, you know, you're making imprints or, you know, it's really mucky, maybe just consider turning around. I think another very relevant component to trail conditions that people should be aware of is forest fires. I know, for instance, a section of the Superior Hiking Trail right now is closed. Not don't have fires, not proceed with caution, closed due to the forest fire up by Betty's Pie area.
Spring Creek, I think is what it's called, Spring Creek Fire.
So especially if you're, you know, also a camper or something like that, being aware of burning restrictions and stuff. Hopefully this isn't just the way of our life now, you know, but it kind of seems like it is. With just the different changing.
Yeah. The last 2 years, we had the Camp House fire up in Brimson area last year. Right, they actually had another one up there this year, and we've got one even closer to home in Two Harbors, you know, right now. And with all these high winds, too, it's a little scary situation for people.
Yeah. So last thing you want to do is find yourself, you know, trail running without your phone or in a bad cell service area, and then you're in a forest fire. So, you know, just really good to keep that in mind as you're planning your time out on the trail. Let's transition to maybe a slightly more positive topic with Coach's Corner. What do you got for the people this month here, Tony?
So nothing really too in terms of like advice, I guess, but I was just thinking about the Grandma's Trainers as we're getting really close right now, particularly our training group. We had our 18 miler for the marathoners yesterday. It went pretty well. Hot day, relatively hot compared to what we've had. So I was happy for them for that because I want to be able to have some hot long run days. It's not fun when it's happening, but it's good for in case Grandma's is hot. And I just hope everybody's training is going well right now. And I will say this, that maybe this is a little bit of a sort of thought of advice, I guess. But with regards to workouts, and we're doing some workouts at this point too, I always tell people, like, don't worry if your performance on your workout doesn't go the way you want it to go. It's workouts really aren't about that necessarily. They're just about getting the stress in. So if you didn't hit the paces that you want, as long as you put in the effort that you wanted to put in or that should have been put in, you've finished the day ahead of where you started. You got the stress that your body needed at that time.
Right.
It's not really about the numbers per se. It's about the efforts. And so do that. And then also, this is another thing I tell my group. We have workouts scheduled on Tuesdays and Thursdays, kind of the classic way to approach it. It's okay to not do a workout on occasion, say on a Thursday. It seems like we're always a little more tired on Thursdays than we are on Tuesdays.
Yeah.
So on Thursdays, we have a do a workout Tuesday, Thursday, another one. Maybe just do a easy 5 or 6 mile run instead.
Sure.
We tell our group that all the time, and I think that's really beneficial for a lot of people. That it doesn't have, you don't have to follow a training plan to a T all the time.
Right.
You have to be willing and able to make adjustments.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm curious just in this topic, Tony, I mean, we're kind of getting to the stretch, you know, the stretch of training, and whether people are looking at their workouts to try to, you know, I guess, what am I trying to say? Visualize the race or like get to a certain benchmark to make sure that they can run a certain time or something like that.
Right.
But I think what's interesting is our interview subject, Tom mentioned it, you know, now's the time of the year to start cramming. It's like cramming for the test. Is there any, I mean, he said it obviously like in jest, but like, is there any truth to that? If people are thinking like, now is the go time, I got to get as much quality as I can. What are some maybe downsides of that, drawbacks? What should people keep in mind if that's what they...
Well, my thought is when I hear that, I would say, well, why not do a workout every day of the week then? Then that's as much quality as you can, right? Because your body can only take so much stress. All training is just balancing stress. It's all it is. And sometimes you need a lot of it and sometimes you need a little. More times than not, you probably need a little. And so you don't want to go over the line because you want to get to the starting line. So it's better to be undertrained than overtrained or injured.
Right.
So the whole like cramming, particularly for the marathon, I think that's really risky to try to cram for a marathon.
Would you recommend someone, if they're trying to quote unquote cram, would you recommend going more for quality or like to get the 20 miler under your belt or something?
Maybe neither, I guess.
Yeah.
Is my first thought. Is this hypothetical person like not running at all, or are they running maybe 15 miles a week?
Yeah, just like
say 15, 20 miles a week, and now they want to do a 20 miler. I would say that's a little risky. I would dial that back.
Yeah.
But then I also wouldn't say like, let's just do 3-4 workouts a week either.
Right.
I would say maybe 3 or 4 runs a week, maybe 1 workout a week, and a long run, and give yourself 2 to 2.5 hours
right
of long running.
And yeah,
whatever the distance is in that time, the distance just is, but go by time instead. 2 to 2.5 hours is kind of the benchmark for like when the bonk starts to happen.
Yeah.
You know, and what the body can sort of take before it is completely depleted. So try to get in a 2 to 2.5 hour jog fest. And whatever the distance is fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Coming right around the corner of this grandma's marathon. A lot of locals training for that 50th anniversary.
How's your training coming, by the way?
It's not good.
Yeah?
It's not good.
Why?
Injury.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. It's the speed work kind of got me, I think.
Yeah.
Well, NMTC took me out a little bit, went a little too hard.
Yeah.
Should have listened to my body, went out for that second race, second week, and that definitely set me way back. So I'm in a kind of a bad spot.
Hamstring?
Hamstring.
Yeah.
Precisely. How'd you know?
Well, speed work.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's, yeah.
Yeah. I had have a big bank of, you know, volume, so I am kind of trying to hold on to that with biking and stuff like that and just... Yeah, rehab and just get to the start line. So,
okay.
That's how my training's going.
You can totally do that.
Yeah.
It's helpful having experience.
Yeah.
So, you can totally do that.
Yeah. It's helpful having experience and carbs.
Yeah.
Exactly. If I have the carbs I need,
you'll be in your high carb intake on race day.
Yeah, pretty much. That's all I got. Yeah. let's keep this on the subject of marathons. Thoughts on the run. Sub-2 marathon. What have you been thinking about? That is crazy.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Can you believe that?
To see, right? 2 sub-2 marathons. The third place guy also broke the old world record.
Yeah.
And I think the fourth place guy is like the 6th fastest time of all time or something like that.
Wow.
I mean, just a crazy fast race. And I'm I hope that they're all clean. The fact that there were so many of them kind of makes me lean towards it was okay.
Yeah.
Rather than an outlier sort of situation that can occur.
Right, right.
But in this day and age, anytime some fast time or world record is set, that's always got to be in the back of your mind, that question.
Yeah.
At some point. But more than anything, it excites me for the future. Really. Because I can forget the name of the physiologist, but he had predicted a handful of years ago that 157:30-ish or something like that is like the fastest a human being can run a marathon for whatever, I don't know.
Yeah.
He came up with. And that's where I kind of think we're headed. I mean, so we're 159 low or something. I can't remember exactly what his seconds were.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But yeah, it seems like 157 high or 157 mid seems achievable here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
insane.
It's funny because it's insane and it's like, this is unreal. And you look at the splits, you know, like 14 low 5K splits over and over and over.
Yeah.
And even like, when there's a couple like sub 14 5K splits in there, like especially down the stretch and just like monster negative splits and stuff is kind of the norm.
A sub 60 second half of a marathon.
But then, you know, like the week before, the poor career at Boston, like that poor guy, like he has a Boston record. 7 days later, it's like totally forgotten about.
Nobody,
you know?
No one
even knows.
Yeah,
yeah. But I think that goes to show that like there's something going on in the marathon world. I think it's easy to point to the shoes, but I'm curious what you think. Like, is it the shoes?
Well, it was really interesting. Renato Canova, a world famous coach, had talked about this a little bit after the records were set. And he said, yes, the shoes, but another thing that's really aiding runners right now is the nutrition and your high carb intake. Like gels are better now than just your normal goo thing.
Right.
They're just far more dialed in. And you can get, there's so many options out there. You can get something that truly works with your individual physiology a little bit better than maybe others might. And so he was saying how nutrition, they're just learning more and more and more how to keep the body stoked throughout the 2 hours of running 440 pace.
Do you think that's changed much though? Like the shoes are clearly changing.
You wouldn't think so, right? Yeah. But I believe Renato Canova when he talks about anything about marathoning. So.
Yeah. I mean, in like the rank and file runner, you know, community, like it's like, well, we should be eating more carbs.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. It turns out it works. You know, I'm a great example of that. Like I'm going to try this. You know, I had a couple like bonk experiences and now it's like, it's like obvious how much more effective just trying to get 90 grams of carbs down an hour can be. But like at that elite level, like how much can that change over time? But
it is because people like Haile Gebrselassie and Kenenisa Bekele, they didn't have the gels and the options that we have now, like the Mortons and the more high tech kinds of options. They just didn't.
Yeah.
And so on that race day alone, those the nutrition that they're putting in is definitely worth some time. So you got the, I kind of see it as like four factors. There's the shoes, and we all know about the shoes at this point. They literally do make you faster. The nutrition, the training approaches as we learn more, we kind of start to learn, you know, okay, here's an approach that seems to work a little bit better or worse than another.
Yeah.
And then human want to.
Yeah.
I think that gets underplayed a lot is like, if you put a record out there, someone's going to try to break it.
Right.
Especially once they realize, oh, I'm pretty close to that.
Yeah.
You know, and it's hard to put a number exactly on human want to, but that's a big part of it as well.
Do you think like a lot of these runners coming out of, you know, like, more like maybe impoverished areas or like, obviously for like Sebastian Sawi, like this is like changing the life of him and his family because he's winning all this money and he's like, you know, just lives in like a low income area, right? Or like was from there or something, something like that. Like, do you think that has any...
I think that gets overplayed, actually, to be honest with you. I think it's a nice story when you hear that and you sort of get it. And you're like, oh, I get it. They're, like, they're trying to make money for their families. And
that
makes sense. But I don't think that fire and passion to be great has anything to do with growing up poor or growing up wealthy. And there's plenty of other countries in the world like that can produce similar... Like you would think India would have, they've got so many people.
You're right.
China, they should have elite marathoners that are constantly on the, but they don't because of the culture and, you know, like in Kenya, in Ethiopia, you know, they live at altitude. People in India and China live at altitude. People in the United States. So it's really,
good point.
A lot of it is just, this is what we do here in Kenya or in Ethiopia. We run fast.
Yeah.
You know, we're passionate about it and we go do it.
Yeah.
Canadians are great at hockey.
Yeah.
They don't have a genetic advantage for hockey because they're Canadian. It's their passion. You know?
Right.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. And what about training? I mean, some of the stuff that I, you know, heard about on YouTube or whatever, it's just like the sheer amount of volume is just outstanding. And that seems to be like, let's say like an X factor, like, well, you can't get there without running 150 miles a week. Like you just can't dream on.
It feels like the numbers, the training numbers are going up. The volume is going up again. Partially, I think the shoes allow us to do that. And then also again, the nutrition and the recovery and what we know about how to bounce back from a hard effort. Mm. All that stuff, the technology, things like Normatec sleeves and, you know, just so many things. So yeah, all of that combined, I think really,
it's pretty cool to see.
It is pretty cool. It is pretty cool. And like I say, I'm excited to see what do we have coming up for a fast marathon next. I can't think of where we're at right
Berlin,
now.
Berlin, I guess is the one that I think of. Like that's like
Berlin the fast and Chicago.
Oh yeah. You know, right.
Those are the two like in October.
Right.
Yeah. We won't see anything for a little while, but Berlin and Chicago.
Yeah.
But yeah, London's always a fast course, so we might see it again next April.
Right.
Yeah.
Those pros, meanwhile, are just out there running 150 miles a week.
Yep.
Prepping. Mm-hmm. Pretty neat. Let's move along to our next segment called What I'm Into. Tony, do you want to highlight a couple things that you,
you've been into lately? This is sort of slightly what I'm into and actually what I just did a couple of weeks ago. And we referenced it briefly in our interview section with Tom O'Rourke. But I just got back not too long, a couple of weeks ago from Pittsburgh to run the Pittsburgh Half with my oldest and my wife.
Yeah.
And I just want to talk about the race a little bit because I was, as I was running it, I've ridden the first 6 miles with Gretchen and then the last 7 miles with Mary. And so I was thinking about grandma's a lot actually out there because it's a big, bigger-ish city marathon. It's about the same size. Obviously, Pittsburgh's a bigger city, but the race itself is about the same size as grandma's. And I'll tell you a couple of things that I think Pittsburgh did really well and one or two that they did poorly. Number one, it's a great course. And it's along the rivers, as everybody knows, Pittsburgh, three rivers, Allegheny, Monongahela, they form the Ohio. So you've got three rivers. And so you cross all three of them at some point. So over three bridges. Bridges are a little bit hilly, and Pittsburgh as itself is a pretty hilly town. But the course itself being down by the rivers is relatively flat, similar to how Grandma's is.
Along the lake,
it's a very hilly town, but the Grandma's is relatively flat.
Yeah.
Compared to what Duluth could offer, and that's what Pittsburgh does as well. It's not pancake flat, but it's pretty flat. And I could see where, if you were racing, the little punchers of hills that are there would definitely have an effect. Mm. Similar to on Grandma's, when you make the right-hand turn on, right by the Super One there, I forget what avenue that is.
Yeah, 14th Avenue East 14th, or something.
13th or 14th.
Yeah.
That, you know, and that thing just... hits you in the face.
Oh, no.
It's a lot of that kind of stuff at Pittsburgh, where, again, if you're racing, those hurt. If you're not really racing, it's not a big deal.
Right.
So the course, beautiful. The organization, the expo, really nice. It was, two downsides. Number one, this is a minor one. It's relatively crowded because it's on kind of narrow neighborhood streets or through the downtown area where there's a lot of turns, a lot of 90-degree turns, and turns slow you down and things get accordioned a little bit and compacted.
Yep.
And so there, you were constantly with people. You never really had open road very much. But the worst thing from the race by far was the aid stations.
Oh.
They were so unprepared. You know how like in ultras sometimes when they get behind and they're like mixing up the gel in the cooler while you're there and they're like trying to pour. That's how the whole, every aid station was like that. They didn't have enough volunteers and they didn't scoop up all the empty cups afterwards. And so through the aid stations and after the aid stations, you're just running on like 50, 75 meters of like flattened cups.
Wow.
All across the road. It was insane. I felt I kind of felt bad for them because they were clearly understaffed. And I assume they just didn't get enough volunteers.
Ouch.
But Pittsburgh's a big city. You'd think like the numbers are available, but maybe people aren't showing up. I don't know. But it was poorly done with regards to the aid stations.
Ouch.
And so I was just thinking, oh man, at Grandma's, be thankful everybody for what we have here because they just knock it out of the park.
Seriously.
Pittsburgh's got a long way to go when it comes to the volunteers and the aid stations. And also we saw Milton there. So we got a chance to talk to Milton. Milton ran the marathon.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was really
how
cool.
did he do?
He finished fourth or fifth. I can't remember. Yeah. He had an okay day to it and didn't have a great day. He was looking to try to win.
Yeah.
And then we ran into him after the race too. And so that was cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fun. Sounds like a fun experience.
I recommend it if anybody happens to go to the Pittsburgh in late May or mid-May at some point in their lives.
Just
to hop in and do it. Yeah.
Yeah, fun. Let's see. I've been into like summer stuff, really, especially like dealing with a little running setback. I've been very much enjoying biking. Got out gravel biking a couple times. Got actually on my mountain bike on the Duluth Traverse yesterday. That was very fun.
Nice.
And disc golf. I love disc golf.
Oh, yeah. You're back at really fun. Doing some disc golf.
Yeah. Cool. And it's just nice to feel like we're back in the summer, you know, finally.
Yeah.
And now, you know, next day it's 40 degrees, but
yeah.
We're there. We're in the summer.
Where did you disc golf?
I've played a couple rounds at my home course at UMD. Okay. I mean, that's kind of the go-to, the little pitch and putt.
Yeah.
Yesterday played out in Twig area, Earl Hansen Woods or Saginaw, I guess you'd say. It's just out of town a little bit, but that's a fun That's a fun little course too. So
cool.
There's a surprisingly robust disc golf scene here in Duluth area. I mean, mm-hmm. within a 30-minute drive, there's probably 100 holes you could play.
Yeah.
So a couple 18 holes and
nice.
Pretty fun. So. Last segment here, the shout out segment. Who do you want to shout out this month, Tony?
Actually, I have a quick shout out to Dufta and the people at Dufta. I was reminded of this as I was riding. It was actually right after my crash on Amity Creek Trail. I was heading down Amity Creek Trail, and they had a sign there where they're maintaining some trails and they had built a little bridge. And I was like, oh, that's so cool. So I stopped, took a QR code shot from their sign and went to their website, and I just appreciate that they're in there, because actually just specific to that region, that those trails are really cool in that wooded section between Amity Creek Trail and Hawks Ridge.
Yeah.
But I always feel like they've been neglected, or they're not quite
right.
as great as they could be. In fact, I think there should be even more single track in that whole wooded area.
Yeah.
But I just appreciate that they're in there doing stuff and trying to make some improvements in there, that I feel like that section does get neglected a little bit with regards to single track.
Yeah. I mean, we have so many trails in the area, but I mean, I think there's always more that can be found, and but sections like that maybe get kind of forgotten about. Like, whose purview is that? You know, like Superior Hiking Trail, like no, you know, Cyclists of, you know, Cogs. No.
Right. Yeah.
Anyone?
Yeah.
Horse Alliance? No.
Yeah, I don't know. You know? Bird Watchers, I guess. But anyway, I don't know exactly how it all works, but I saw that Dufta was doing some work there, and so I wanted to give them a shout out, because that's pretty cool.
That's awesome. Yeah. And I think, you know, if someone's listening to this and thinking, yeah, that is cool. Mm-hmm. I should get involved. You can definitely make a donation, become a member. They have memberships. I'm a member. Mm-hmm. And also ample volunteer trail work opportunities. So
yeah,
shout out to Dufta. Tiff.
Oh yeah, and a shout out to Tiffany Carey, who competed in the Xterra National Championships today. So
yeah,
she did really well.
Wow. I
think, what did she finish? First in her age group, and she would have been, I think, like 10th or 11th in the elites.
No way. First.
So, yeah.
First in your age group in the national championships.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah.
That's super exciting. I have one shout out, and it's actually to our email. Kind of a fun, goofy email. We got a word from Jesse Hansen, born and raised Duluthian. Jesse has finished the Grandma's Marathon or Gare Bjorklund multiple times, and sent us a note about she's coming back from, she lives in Denver and is coming back to Duluth for the races, but also she's part, like a co-founder or co-creator. She works at this organization called Science Riot, which is meant to just utilize stand-up comedy to bring science-based subjects to the layman, such as myself, or maybe, you know, us, talk about science stuff in a way that's understandable. Everyone understands humor. Anyways, it sounds like a fun organization, but they actually have an event happening on June 20th at the Zeitgeist. So if you're into comedy, science, one or the other, or both, like myself, check out this event, Science Riot. Just, I don't know, go search it, but there's an event at the Zeitgeist. Jesse is involved in that, and that's coming up on June 20th. So thank you, Jesse, for getting in touch. Other than that, I believe we have come to our conclusion when it comes to the rundown section. So should we just get right to our interview subject here?
Yes, let's.
All right.